Hi everyone, this is Jack, the station manager at Radio Laurier. Now today you're going to hear two back-to-back interviews with this year's candidate for the Wolusit President and Publisher. As you might know, every year we like to sit down with each candidate, talk a bit about their experience, their hopes for the roles, etc., etc. Now today we're starting off talking to Thando. How are you doing today, Thando?
I'm doing good. I apologize for my voice, guys. I'm a little under the weather, but other than that, I'm really excited to be here.
No worries at all. We hope you feel better soon.
Thank you.
Awesome. Alrighty. So we're just going to start with a couple icebreaker questions. Get things moving, things comfortable. The first one is, if you could create a slogan for your life, what would it be?
Wow, that's a that's a good one. Slogan for my life. I think slogan for my life would be like, you're just a person, so have fun. Mm-hmm. You know, like I think once you say that you're just a person, have fun, like it kind of just gives you control, you know, in a sense, mm-hmm. because it's like, hey, you're just a guy, you know what I mean? You're just a guy, you're just a chill guy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, doesn't matter how crazy the world is, doesn't matter, you know, how crazy all these things are happening. At the end of the day, you're just you, you know, so have fun, you know, just try to ride the wave and, you know, just do the best that you can do. You know what I mean? So, yeah, you're just a guy. Have fun.
Awesome. I like that. That's a good one. Nice. And then the other one is kind of stealing a classic icebreaker question here. What is one thing you would bring to a deserted island?
Well, I've actually thought about that. Interestingly enough, quite a lot.
Nice.
I mean, I suppose if it's a deserted island, you know, you probably want to get the basics, right? Like you want to get survival. But I'm somebody who writes a lot. Like I really like writing stories and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I would just really want to have like, I don't know, a 1,000-page like notebook or something, you know, mm-hmm. like maybe 5,000 pages so I can just write story after story after story. Of course, this might be dumb though, because, oh, what am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? But I mean, I'm on an island. I could like create like a fire system, boil the water, you know,
true.
Maybe go hunt some coconuts, you know, and then I just write.
Yeah, that'll work a lot. That's awesome. Great answer. So now we're going to get into the actual sort of presidency questions. First, could you just describe what you believe to be the role of Wolusit's president and publisher?
I think the role of the president, of course, like the number one thing is you essentially are kind of like taking responsibility for, you know, the overall Wolusit organization, right? You've got an executive director who's going to be there to help you out. And you've got the board of directors who are there to give you a vision, you know, your answer to them and all that kind of stuff. But I think from what I understand, even talking to past presidents, it really is about relationships. You know, it's really about maintaining relationships between all the different newspapers that we have down, right? Like The Cord, Blueprint, Sputnik. You kind of have to sort of like reach out to all these organizations. And, you know, these organizations are being run by very competent people, right, which are the editors. So you're kind of just there to, you know, touch base, you know, you're kind of just there to give them an overall vision, you know, of where we're pushing forward. But it's a lot about trust, you know, it's a lot about sort of like allowing them to do their job, you know, because they are really skilled people, they know what they're doing and they're passionate about what they're doing. So it's really about maintaining those relationships, you know, harnessing them, you know, that trust, you know, but also communicating creative ideas and, you know, discussing way to take the organization as a whole forward, you know. So that's what I kind of see as the main responsibility is you kind of just have to take that role of like the link of the entire organization, you know, just like connecting everybody to each other while giving them visions of what is there. And, you know, thank God you've got an executive director to help you out with it. And, you know, thank God for the board, you know, they're there to give you that vision.
Mm-hmm. And why do you want to be the president?
I think for me, like, I've been involved in student journalism almost ever since I started, like, going to Laurier, you know, like, I've always been somebody who's been passionate about journalism, has been passionate about telling stories. And I remember when I was in high school, I actually started a newspaper for my local high school. It was called the News Raiders, actually, which I thought was a cool title. I was like, dude, I ate with that. News Raiders. I might just bring it back. Who knows? But yeah, like I started a high school newspaper, and I was the only person in the entire school was writing it. Like, I remember I would write like stories about what was happening in high school, you know, like maybe the football team or if we won or something like that. Then I had like a little comic strip section, you know, where I would sort of like put little comics of what happened, everything. It was literally just a paper. Like, it was an A4 paper that I just spread out and all that kind of stuff. Because I'm like, you know, in high school in Africa, right? Like, so the school I was at, we didn't have all that many resources and stuff. But I made do with what I had. So I've always wanted to be part of like organizations like this, you know. And like, I started off at the Sputnik, I started off as a volunteer writer, I was writing for the opinion section. Then I eventually sort of like created the Infinitum, which was like our creative section, and I became editor of that. And now here I am as a creative director at the Sputnik, and I still want to be a part of this, you know. I've really fallen in love with Ulysses. Like, you know, the work that we're doing is really amazing, right? Like, the Sputnik is killing it. Yeah. But then every single time I look at like other people, I'm looking at Tasharika and the Blueprint, and like, she's killing it over there. I'm looking at the Core, and I'm looking at like the Community Edition, and I'm like, dude, you know, like, I don't know. I just feel like this is exciting. Like, what else do you want? You know, like, you get to tell stories. You have an active campus who are interested. And I know this because I actually also do some distribution, right? So I kind of like distribute the papers all over the campus and stuff. And I literally get to see people actually be excited about reading the next issue. So it's like, what we're doing matters, you know, what we're doing has an impact and stuff. So I think being offered the opportunity, you know, to sort of like continue, you know, being a part of this organization, but even being put in this position where I kind of like get to also help in, you know, pushing forward the new vision of, you know, what this organization is going to be like, I find it was an honor, you know. Like, I really want to be a part of that journey. And I am also scared, right? Because, like, of course, with Laurier, you know, what's going on with the DMJ program, you know, it's a bit scary for sort of, like, people who are interested in news stories and stuff. And I guess I just want to be there to ensure that I can do my very best to, you know, protect our organization and ensure that it continues to flourish, you know, no matter what the future of the journalism program looks like, you know. I enjoyed going to NASH because I got to talk with many different other newspapers and stuff. And I also found out that a lot of these guys, they also don't have journalism programs, but that doesn't stop them from putting out good journalism, you know. So I really want to sort of like bring that same spirit to Laurier, you know, so that we can maintain this culture of telling stories, you know, regardless of whether we have a journalism program or not. So, yeah, I don't know. I went a bit off script, but that's the answer right there.
All good. That was great. Awesome. And so could you speak to your relevant experience for this role, both in Wolusip and out of Wolusip?
Yeah, no, like, I think even part of that spiel that I gave a bit from the previous answer, it kind of gives a rough background of, like, yeah, like, part of my experience, right? Like, I'm somebody who's always been involved in student journalism, like, ever since I was like a second year. I remember I was already writing stories. Like, my entire journey at Laurier, majority of it was spent in those Sputnik offices, you know. So I have been with this organization since day one, you know. We've survived COVID together, you know. So I've been through it, and I've also been involved in even just the aspect of running a nonprofit organization, because I've worked with the Grandview Theater Company. They're a small theater group down in Brantford, and they don't have as much resources, you know. They don't have as much even audience, you know what I mean? But what they do have is a love for the craft. What they do have is a love for telling stories and bringing about communities, you know. And we reach out to government organizations, you know, we get grants, and sometimes it's not even that much, but we make do with what we have, you know. So I am kind of experienced with working with nonprofit organizations, you know, where the priority here is sort of like to make a difference, you know what I mean? Like, and we do the best that we can with the resources that we allocated, you know. And just that, I think the foundation of all these places that I've worked at is community. You know, that's the one thing that has always been present. From my first day when I joined the Sputnik, right? Like, again, this was like during like post-COVID, like very early days. You know, people were kind of like still trying to get into campus, get into the groups and all these different things. But if you spend all this time, you know, doing Zoom classes, all that kind of stuff, you kind of lose a sense of community, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's why I joined the Sputnik, because I was like, yo, I want to be able to have that. And they did give me that, you know? And now working with the theater guys and stuff, like, it was also just a community of, like, people in Brantford who want to tell stories, who want to engage with the community and stuff. Even right now, we're actually planning some, what is it, like, some projects focusing on the Black community in Brantford. Oh, yeah. And you know, it's volunteerism, you know, it's like if you have extra time, you know, just go out there and just be a part of something, you know. So I kind of feel like this experience of, you know, trying to engage the community, trying to sort of like create, you know, something new that can bring people together, I feel like this is part of my experience. And I really think that this experience is very, very crucial to, you know, the position of president, publisher, and chair, because that is really what you're doing. You're kind of like trying to be the heart of all these different communities, whether it's the Blueprint community in Waterloo, whether it's the Sputnik community in Brantford, you know, like that's what you're trying to do. Even now with the Milton campus, right? Like we also want to be able to reach out to them and also foster that same spirit of community, you know? So I think that community building perspective is very, very crucial to the role of president, publisher, and chair. And I think that I'm pretty versed in it, you know, like I'm not an expert at all, but I have been exposed to it. I have a deep admiration for it. And I think this is what makes me confident that I can do a good job in that role.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Awesome. Could you describe what you believe to be the relationship between the president and the other administration roles at WLUSIP, kind of specifically looking at the executive director, the human resources manager, and also the board of directors?
Yeah, like, I think, I've watched a lot of, like, movies where people kind of, like, make fun of, like, this business guy who comes in and then he says something like synergy, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, yeah, we want to have synergy in the organization. And as funny as it is, that is true. You know, that's how I think of it when I think about the executive director, the board director, and you know, HR. I think it's synergy. You know, I want our relationship to be one of synergy, you know, when we are working with each other. It's sort of like this team building, you know, mentality. You know, I don't believe in hierarchies. I don't believe in, you know, any of those type of things. I believe it's just a bunch of people who've come together and they want to do something, you know, and we're all just working with each other. We're always trying to see, oh, what's your strength? You know, what are you good at? All that kind of stuff. And especially with the executive director, right? I've actually, during NASH, it was really nice to sort of like get to see the current executive director. And he's such a cool dude, you know what I mean? Like, that's just what I want. I just want to be like, hey, you know, you're cool. I'm cool. Let's make something happen, you know? Mm. We share notes, you know? He gives me advice, you know? I give him ideas, you know? And we work with it and all that kind of stuff. You know, with HR and stuff, it's that same relationship of like, hey, you're competent. You know what you're doing. You know, I'm here. You know, I want to collaborate with you. What can we do? You know, how can we deal with this situation and that situation? And especially with the board, I mean, ultimately, they are kind of like the sort of like, how you say, like that group that you kind of like answer to, you know, but not in this sort of like hierarchical way of like, oh, you know, the board or whatever, but more of like, this is a place where I think sometimes you do need people to sort of like check up on you, right? Mm-hmm. You need people to sort of like hold you accountable. You know what I mean? I think that's necessary, right? Because like, otherwise you just kind of do whatever you want, you know? And there is a comfort there in knowing that there's a group of people that are here to sort of like stand as like a place of accountability and stuff, you know? So I think that's how I see the board. I see them as just like, I'm working with them and we're trying to sort of like bring about this vision of the organization, but there is also an accountability there, you know, as president and chair, where you have to be accountable to the board, you know what I mean? So that kind of relationship, like, yeah, it's a cliche, but synergy, man, you know, that's where it's at, synergy.
Yeah, well said. So at WLUSIP, we pride ourselves on editorial independence, sort of not being swayed by external influence or external organizations in our reporting. Could you speak to the importance of editorial independence, and how will you ensure it continues at Wolusip?
I think like that's extremely important, because I think part of editorial independence is also part of authenticity, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think this is really something that's important, because you need to be able to tell a story authentically. You know, you need to be able to have that autonomy to not be swayed by external factors, you know what I mean? And I mean, especially like, of course, well, student journalism and stuff, but I do think if you look at it even on a broader perspective of journalism as a whole, right? Like what's going on right now with, you know, all these different social media companies like Facebook and Meta sort of like starting to enforce these like, no fact checking, all these different things. It's a very insecure time. You know, if you're somebody who's interested in journalism, you're somebody who's interested in good journalism, it's a very insecure time, you know, because you have all these big organizations, right, which have their own agendas, and they're trying to sort of like push all these narratives and stuff. And that really is the concept of journalism. It is about narratives and stuff. And I think this is why you genuinely need authentic voices, you know, like more than anything. And that's why I really like love the fact that Wolusip has this sort of like editorial independence, because it's absolutely crucial, you know. Like, I mean, that's what I mean, like, of course, the student journalism, but we still are part of that story, that grander narrative of journalism as a whole, you know. And now more than ever, like, independent media really seems to be sort of like a safe space for people, because I mean, I don't want to talk too much about like current political stuff, because that could be an hour-long conversation and stuff, but you know, we've seen that, you know, there are biases that are present, particularly in structural systems. We have noticed that there are certain biases that tend to overlook certain perspectives. You know what I mean? So this is why I really think that now more than ever, you genuinely need independent voices. You genuinely need, you know, independent editorial voices and stuff.
Mm-hmm. I see. Yeah. So as I kind of mentioned earlier, Wolusip operates on all the Laurier campuses. Not as much on Milton quite yet, but we're working on it. What are your goals with working on multiple campuses?
I think like the beauty of my situation is I'm a Brantford native, right? So like this is where I've spent most of my life in Canada. I came here in 2019. And especially when it comes to my relationship with Wolusip organization, it's mostly happened through the Sputnik, right, which is based in Brantford. And I think with the president publisher role, it's great because it kind of forces me to get out of my shell, which I love, right, because I'm a Brantford native, but I'm going to have to go to Waterloo, you know, I'm going to have to go to the center of it all. But the beauty is, right, I still have that connection to Brantford, and that connection isn't going anywhere. You know what I mean? So it's almost like I get to sort of like explore this new world, right? Which is Waterloo and all that kind of stuff. But I also still remain centered in Brantford. I still have a strong connection to that. So I think that kind of creates this relationship where it's almost going to be seamless for me to be sort of like jumping between Waterloo and Brantford, because I'm based in both areas, you know, like these are areas that I am, you know, attached to, you know, like Brantford and the Sputnik, that's like where I grew up, like that's my baby, you know what I mean? But at the same time, Waterloo and stuff, like this is also my baby, you know what I mean? This is my responsibility now, you know, taking on this broader face of Wolusip and stuff. And I can now, I think even sort of like that exploratory journey of getting to look at the blueprint and get to look at the cores and all these different, you know, like publications and stuff. Like, I just think that relationship is going to be seamless, you know? And I think especially when it comes to Milton, I am also very, very eager to sort of like be part of that story of how we, you know, get to establish ourselves in that campus, because that's like a new opportunity, you know what I mean? And like more than anything, it's also a chance for us to create a community in Milton, you know, because they're all these students will finally get to have this vehicle by which they can sort of like connect with one another, you know, and do it all through stories, do it all through journalism and student media and all that kind of stuff. So I really think my relationship in terms of traveling between these different campuses, I think it's going to be seamless, because I have stakes in all of them and I'm deeply interested in being part of how we shape them and stuff.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Yeah. And so Wolusip also works with a variety of publications. We have about 8 different publications under our purview, some of which are on different mediums like Radio Laurier. How, if elected, how will you continue to foster collaboration across the publications?
I think this is an awesome question as well, because it also speaks to my own, I can say, private experience as well. Like, it's not necessarily official, because it's more like this is my personal hobby, essentially, my personal passion. And I'm somebody who loves to tell stories, right? Like, the Sputnik has always given me a chance to be able to express my stories and stuff, whether it's creatively, journalistically. But I also have a multimedia perspective as well. Like, I'm just going to let you guys in on my little secret world and stuff. But I have this sort of like idea that I've always had about like storytelling, where I call it a cinematic novel, essentially. It's, none of them exist yet that I've written, but it is something that I am working towards. And I love writing. I love watching television shows. I love listening to podcasts. I love, you know, engaging with all the different medias. And I was like, what if I could like make a book which sort of like incorporates all these different aspects? Like, when we have traditional novels, like, you kind of have like your textual narrative, right? Like, the person writes a prose, all that kind of stuff. You read your story and everything. But then I also like comics, and like, I kind of like how comics, they have that graphic, you know, like, novel thing where you kind of get to see the characters come to life and all these different things. And with comics, there isn't really much text. It's more so the image speaking and all that kind of stuff. Whereas with the novel, it's like, you know, the words now, they speak and all that kind of stuff. And to merge the two together, right, you would say, oh, well, that's a graphic novel. That already exists. That does exist, but like, if you guys pay attention to graphic novels, most of the time they still follow the same model of comics, where the image is the priority and the text kind of becomes secondary. The only difference, however, is with graphic novels, you usually have more mature narratives, which are much longer, right? They're more akin to traditional novels and stuff. But I wanted to make a legitimate graphic novel where you have just as much text as you have just as much images. Mm-hmm. And because of multimedia, I like movies, I like watching TV shows and stuff. I was like, well, what if I could even make I could write the book, right? And then add the pictures and stuff, and then it becomes a cinematic novel in print. But then what if we could also transfer that, and then you could have sort of like a cinematic novel movie or something? Because I watch audiobooks, I listen to podcasts and everything, and I read comics, and I'm like, why don't I just blend the two together? Like, imagine, right? Just like, open a video, right? And you've got the audiobook, right? Like the podcast narrative, like this narrator who's telling you what's happening with the stories and stuff. And you can see the text, right? And we have got like all the prose, all the elegant, you know, use of words and stuff. But at the same time, you also get to see the images, like multiple images. And not only that, but those images are sort of like inspired by comics. So like, when characters speak, we could have voice actors who actually voice out these characters and stuff, you know? So it's almost like this multimedia experience where you have text, where you have images, where you have video, where you have, you can hear like the audio, all that kind of stuff. And I really think this is my own personal hobby, but I think this is gonna make me very, very excited now working with Wolusip, because we have all these different arms. You know, we have the Radio Laurier. You guys are like already audio experts and stuff. We have the writers and everything who write the text and all these different things. I mean, we don't maybe have like an image section yet, but we have photography. Photography is killing it. Like, all our covers look amazing and stuff, right? And now we also do have just genuine videos too, like, you know, like cinematography departments and stuff, like with videographers and all that kind of stuff. So I'm like, dude, the potential here is exciting, you know, because I'm just doing it in my basement, right? Now, when I actually get to work with like legitimate professionals who know what they're doing, I mean, dude, like, we can go to the moon. It's very exciting. So I kind of feel like my personal things are kind of like adding a sort of fruition, because now I sort of like get to practice, you know, my passion on a much bigger scale. You know what I mean? And even collaborating with actual people who have actual ideas. So yeah, I don't know. That was a bit of a tangent, but
yeah, that's interesting.
I'm excited.
That's neat. Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. Could you give one critique and one praise of the current Wolusip president and publisher?
Ooh, that one's a that one's interesting. That one's really interesting. I mean, it's kind of tough because I know the president and I love her. She's such an amazing person. I have so much respect for her. I think honestly, in terms of praise, I have a lot of praise. I have a lot of praise. Like, I really think the organization is running so smoothly. You know, like even now working as a creative director, I also get to see aspects of that administrative level, and it's seamless. You know, it's so intuitive. It's functioning so well. And there's always this thing where people are like, oh, you know, you never really notice when everything is going good. You only notice when things are going bad. Right now, things are going really good because it feels natural, you know. And I think to get to such a level where you can have such a massive organization with all these different parts moving so smoothly, I have a lot of respect for that, you know. So I respect her for how she's really holding it down. I haven't really heard any complaints at all about how the organization is functioning. I think she's doing a very good job in maintaining, you know, it's like efficiency and all that kind of stuff. And in terms of critiques, I don't know, it gets tough, you know. Like I suppose maybe I would I don't know, I would like more community, I think is what I can say. I would like more community. I really think, and I think this is also something that even as president, obviously, they probably might not have had as much control, especially right now, right? Like with their term ending and all that kind of stuff. I'm pretty sure they probably had aspirations for that as well. But yeah, I kind of feel like I would want more community. You know what I mean? Like going to Nash was so cool because I really got access to all the different people involved in the organization. I got to talk with the executive director. I even got to talk with Radio Laurier people there and stuff. And it was really cool. Like actually, you kind of put the face to the people, you know, because usually what I do as distribution, we get the new paper and it's like, oh, okay, these people wrote this, all that kind of stuff. But now with Nash, I can actually get to see the person live and in person. It's like, oh, you're actually a really cool dude. Like that's freaking awesome. But like, yeah, so like I think I want more community, you know, and this is gonna be a challenge even for myself when I take over because I know it's not something that's easy to do, right? Like, I mean, people have different schedules, you know, people have all these different things happening. It's not really easy to bring everybody together, you know, with something like what Nash happened and stuff. But that's kind of what I wish we had more of, you know. I wish we had more Nashes, but more independently, like with lists of Nashes or something like that. You know what I mean? Like just bringing people together more so that we can just genuinely build more collaboration. Because I kind of feel like if you have, you know, such situations where you've got all these different people from different organizations together, you know, in the same room, you know, it that's like you become curious, you know, and that curiosity is how you can now spur creative projects, you know. That's how you can now think about collaborative projects and stuff. Because like, well, you have the person right there, and this person has these skill sets and all these different things. Why don't you guys do something together? Right? But I know it's not easy to do, you know, it definitely is a challenge. So that's why I don't really put too much blame on the president for not being able to foster that. And even if I was to take it over, I mean, I want it to, but it's not gonna be super easy. I'm not gonna lie to you. You know, like I think that's the hardest thing I've learned when it comes to scheduling organizations and stuff. People are busy, man. People have lives. It's not as easy. But that's what I wish we had more of. I wish we had more community.
Makes sense, yeah. And I guess this kind of sort of touches on that a little bit. How the president is covering several different campuses as well as several different publications. How are you at managing your time and establishing boundaries?
Yeah, no, I think that's really an important question. And like I kind of like the aspect of like boundaries as well, right? Because like you do need to sort of like have certain lines and all that kind of stuff. But I think, you know, I'm dedicated to this job, you know, I'm dedicated to this position, and I'm giving it 100%. I'm giving it all my best and stuff. And part of that is you have to be very organized. You have to be very organized. You have to have strong systems. And I'm going to be borrowing a lot from the previous president because the previous president also happened to be the editor of the Sputnik as well at some point in time. And I was like paying attention. They had like these strong systems. Like we have what we call the drop dead deadline, which doesn't seem like a crazy invention, but trust me, that helps a lot because what you do is you kind of have like a deadline of like, hey, you know, guys, get this thing done on this day. But we are anticipating that students are going to get overwhelmed. You know, they're going to have assignments, that kind of stuff. So we also have this drop dead deadline where it's like, okay, if you miss the first deadline, you've got a small window of time. But then after this, this is the drop dead. And that single invention, I think, has really helped the Sputnik a lot in terms of getting submissions on time. Because all of a sudden, now people kind of feel like they have more time, right? It's like, oh, okay, I'm just trying to meet that deadline. If I miss the deadline, it's not the end of the world because I still have to drop dead. And then I do that. So I think those kind of organizational tricks are things that are going to have to be necessary. I'm going to have those for myself as well. Because, I mean, after all, it's so many different responsibilities, right? So I think, you know, having strong schedules where I really just try to make sure that I pay attention to all the moving pieces and stuff, and also having, you know, creating systems which cater to expected weaknesses, you know what I mean? Sort of like, ah, if you get overwhelmed, all that kind of stuff, it's not the end of the world. You know, you still have a few days before the drop dead. So that kind of stuff, I think you're going to need to be very organized, and that's going to be up to me. And I am open to advice from everybody. That's the thing, right? It's like, I'm not this expert who's perfect and know what's happening. No, I'm open to ideas. I'm open to learning. Even like my running mate, who's also running for this role as well, I'm learning a lot from him as well. Like, I really looked at his platform, and I really think that I'm kind of like copying a lot of his ideas there, because he's got some great ideas, especially when it comes to organizational stuff and everything. So,
awesome, very nice. And this is our last question. If elected, what are you looking forward to learning or experiencing as president?
Ooh, wow, yeah, that one's it's a big one. I think most of it, really for me, community has always been the biggest thing. Like, you know, that's why that was one of the driving factors of joining the newspaper. I mean, even when I started a little high school newspaper and stuff, like part of it was to try and build community, you know, because I was somebody who was into stories and I wanted to sort of like create a space where other people who are interested in that could also join me, you know. And I mean, I was the only person who wrote the only issue that we ever had. But, you know, after that, it was pretty cool, though, because I got to meet some cool people in my high school. Like, I remember there was this guy who was also into, like, writing stories and stuff. And there was this other girl who was into, like, more horror fiction and everything. And we kind of created this little loose group where we would share notes with each other and all these different things. So it's like, that's why what I'm excited about. I'm excited about being sort of, like, welcome to the greater community, you know, because my experience in Brantford has been amazing. And I kind of feel like now I get to have Brantford and Waterloo and Milton. I think Milton is also really exciting, dude. Like, that's, I mean, it's so interesting. Like, that's just a fresh, you know, campus that's slowly building its way up. I mean, they're building their culture. Like, this is history in motion, you know? So it's going to be very exciting to reach out to that community and sort of like see how we can, you know, be part of that narrative that they're building. You know, I'm really, really excited about that. And yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it really comes down to community for me. So I'm excited about the community opportunities this role.
Thank you so much for coming in today, Thando. Everyone listening, please stay tuned. And we're going to hear very shortly from Abdullah, our other presidential candidate. But once again, thank you so much for coming in today, Thando. Best of luck.
Thank you so much. Awesome.
Hi, everyone. And we are back. Right now we are talking to Abdullah, who is the other candidate to be next year's WLUSIP president and publisher. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good, Jack. How are you?
Awesome. Great. I'm good. I'm glad to hear it. We're going to start with some simple icebreaker questions.
Let's go.
Get into it. First off, if you could create a slogan for your life, what would it be?
That's good. I wouldn't say I have necessarily a slogan. Just because I keep changing my slogans every year, the New Year resolutions. But let's say you only live once.
That's a good one. Yeah. That's a classic.
Yeah.
Awesome. Very nice. And second icebreaker is kind of a classic icebreaker. What is one thing that you would bring with you to a deserted island?
I have the answer, yeah. I'll bring my phone. So that I could listen to the Radio Laurier.
Oh, thank you. Wow, you're trying to flatter me a little bit. Appreciate it.
100%, yeah.
It's a good one, though. Honestly, I feel like a phone is a pretty versatile
Come on.
Thing to bring.
So now we're going to get into kind of the main president questions. First, could you describe what you believe to be the role of Elusive's president and publisher?
Yes. The role, as far as I understand, is the publisher, president, chair for WLU Student Publications. Mm-hmm. Now, Student Publications being this organization, nonprofit, that has a lot of sectors and departments. So the role itself, from what I understand, is pretty much managing these different sectors and departments. Mm-hmm. Now we have the yearbook, the newspapers, the magazines, and Ready Lure Year. So you're not there making them or kind of helping them make it, but you're there to, you're there as a leader, kind of understanding what they're doing on in their behalf and their departments, and trying to see how they can improve, see if they have any problems. And you yourself as the leader, you have to be resilient, since mm-hmm. If the department heads are experiencing some issues and they're just like, okay, they just come to a burnout and they can't find us, let's say, an answer, or they can't find a solution, you're there to help. That's where you step in. Mm-hmm. That's where you're supposed to come in for guidance, support, and you should have the network as well to be able to collaborate with different departments and be like, hey, listen, it's fine. Like, the other department had some issues and we worked something out, so don't worry about your issue, we can work something out as well. So definitely being the chair of the organization, you have to work with department heads. And with that, also with the executive director, that's everyone who really manages the organization. It's a bigger role. It's a full-time position, and it kind of comes with those full-time responsibilities.
Mm-hmm. I see. Yep. And why do you want to be the president?
Very nice. Me, myself, from my humble beginnings at Elusive as a volunteer, because it had a video editor role, and then slowly stepping into the production side with Adobe, I went to, let's call it, the yearbook department, making InDesign, working on InDesign as a production assistant. And I just came back to get my check a few months mm-hmm. ago, and then I spoke with the president, who was like, hey, we're hiring someone for the yearbook, and would you be interested? So it was kind of like someone asking me, would you be interested? And I was like, mm-hmm. sure, I'll give it a try. And ended up being the editor-in-chief, and it has the responsibilities, and I actually ended up really liking it. Mm-hmm. Same goes for the president role. The executive director of Elusive came forward and was asking me that, hey, I see your qualities, your leadership qualities. It's good how you're managing your department and spreading the word, which we really need mm-hmm. here at Elusive. We want to market it. And how about you also consider being being nominated for it? And I said, I don't know, because I thought it was a lot of work, especially mm-hmm. managing it as a student. Mm-hmm. I have, like, it's my final year, so I want to focus on my grades. But mm-hmm. looking more into the role, it is a full-time thing, but it's also, you're kind of managing, you're not making things, you're kind of managing things. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I'm good at that. I feel like I have good qualities to manage things. And in terms of on-ground work, I'm able to do that as well. But with this role, when Curtis, our executive director, came forward a few times and he was like, you should consider it, I looked into it and I was like, okay, I believe that I can definitely do this, and I can definitely give it a chance. And also, like, being a Laurier, like, this is a once in a life opportunity. You don't get mm-hmm. to be you don't get to be the chair, just it doesn't really happen. And I was like, why not take the opportunity?
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes, brother.
Can you speak to relevant experience for this role, both in and outside of Elusive?
First, let's talk about the inside experience. Mm-hmm. With the publisher, it's a lot of publications happening, so all the marketing is good. Yearbook, it is relevant. But yearbook is mostly picture-based stuff. With publications, you have to focus on, especially as I went to NASH earlier this weekend, mm-hmm. which was a conference for Canada's University Press. Publication is all about journalism and the media and the information being not imported, but also exported into university for our department. Like Elusive, it's a student-run publication, so it's all about getting the information, getting the correct information, fact-checking the information, and then putting it out there for students to learn. There's always a lot of information out there, and it's important that we're not misinforming people and also not telling one side of the story. That's another important important part. But that's my relevant experience, I would say, with publications is, although I'm not a big writer, but definitely learning about the standards of publications and the stories and how stories are supposed to be put forward, like put in the newspapers, or how stories are supposed to be explained, let's say, in the magazines. It could be visually or it could be literally. It could go both ways. So I feel like that's my relevant experience with with the publication sector. Now with the student sector, as I've been involved in campus since the since my first year back in Brantford. I was the president for our Art Hawks Council, which just kind of made events for students, and it was an art-based theme. And me being a fine art student, I kind of had that similarity with that. So just the hosting events, but also kind of managing events, having that leadership position as the president, and being on campus, being involved, always spreading the word. Like, I think last interview, I don't know if I mentioned being part of these different clubs, such as Filmmakers of Laurier, being the VP of marketing, and doing a lot of content creation role with these other councils, and with the yearbook. It's a lot of my work is with it goes with advertising. So it's all about learning what you want to advertise first. What's the position? Well, what do you want people to learn, and what do you want people to know about your idea or your topic or your goal? And once you have that figured out, now it's about, okay, how do we market it? How do we spread the word? What's the interest for our consumers, and what's our benefit for them coming in as well? So it's stuff like that I've done on campus that's that I feel like has taught me a lot about how to go ahead with this role.
Yeah. And can you describe what you believe to be the relationship between the president and publisher and other administration roles at Wolusip, specifically looking at the executive director, the human resources manager, and the board of directors?
Yeah, so the relationship with the chair and the advertisers, advertising manager, the ED, and the HR is a very personal one. You have to work close with them because they're also in that leadership position. They're also in the they also have a role, a big role to play in managing everyone. So you have to be very close with them, especially with the HR sector. Now, this is a student-run publication, so students come, and students are not adults. Students are students; they're young. So you have to manage students in a student manner, but also learn from them, because students have their unique talents that they bring, different skill sets that they bring. And if you just shut them down, you're just not willing to learn, let's say, something new or a new trend or how things are changing. So it is good to stay, let's say, traditional in terms of in a workplace. It's also good to welcome new ideas. Now, working with these, let's take for example, that was with HR. So let's say for advertising, working with the HR advertising manager is all about finding ads for our newspapers and the websites, which bring money back to the publications, student publications, and that's also a personal connection with them. Maybe you know some businesses, you yourself, and maybe they know some businesses, or we can find a way to advertise that we're looking for businesses. So that can be done. Same goes for the executive director. Anything that needs to be done, and I'm sure we have a great finance department. So it's just making sure you have a real personal connection with all the staffs, especially the ones which are in the same similar positions and as you with the leadership, with a leader role.
Well said. Yeah, well said. So at Wolusip, we pride ourselves on editorial independence, sort of not allowing what we publish to be swayed by external organizations or external influence. Could you speak to the importance of editorial independence, and how will you ensure it continues at Wolusip?
Very nice. Let me just give a quick story about NASH, which was the conference that happened a week ago, and this came forward as all the universities in Canada were present at this conference, and most of them are financed, or let's say they work for the university. Now, the unique thing with Blusip is it's a non-profit independent sector. So we have a lot of freedom to really to have an independent voice, and we can't have it influenced by the university or someone else, or let's say even the advertisers. We find information that's relevant to the topic, and we make sure to include both sides, minorities or large groups. And we put that forward. And having that sort of independence and having that freedom to just not be restricted by, hey, you can't say that because that goes against us, or that doesn't put us in a good light. That's what Blusip is good at. We're independent sector. So talking about all these different, when I went to the conference and I heard all these different universities, individual, like people that are representing their newspapers and how they're talking about how many restrictions they have and they don't have too much freedom. I just kind of, and I'm making the yearbook, but I still joined that conference, and I was thinking that that's so different from what we have at Blusip, where people are not really, let's say, controlled, or they're not restrained, or they're not feeling like they're locked to only saying this or putting things in putting out things in one way. They can actually put out things in three different ways. They could put four different perspectives on the newspapers and have the reader decide which perspective they want to take. So I feel like just encouraging that in the organization, when I do become president, it would just be letting the publishers know that hey, listen, like we have a benefit. Like we're one of the only we're very few. There's very few universities which are non-profit and independent, so we should take advantage of that, and we should not just let that go over our heads. We should actually look into that deeply and think about how we can expand on just talking about all the things that we feel are relevant to the topic, instead of just throwing one side of the story because we feel like that's all that needs to be heard. Stuff like that.
Yeah, I see. And Blusip operates on all of Laurier's campuses. You have the Waterloo campus, where we're kind of based, and the Brantford campus, and we're starting to do some work on the Milton campus as well.
Yes.
What are your goals with working with multiple campuses?
Very nice. Well, multiple campuses is one of the challenges, I would say, because Waterloo is the main campus with around, I would say, 15,000 plus students, and Brantford campus having, I think, 5,000 plus students, and Milton is just starting up. In the past, there has been a big, connection between the Brantford and Waterloo campus. But there has been, now with the Milton campus, as it's starting up, there's really no recognition. And my job would be just to take the trips personally as the president and go there and let the student union know, hey, listen, I'm from the Waterloo campus, and we're part of Student Publications, which is Laurier, like Wilfrid Laurier University Student Publications, and we publish content for Laurier students. So if this is a Laurier campus, we want to advertise here and kind of spread the word in all the campuses. And yes, one of the ways to do that is by just contacting people on emails and sending messages on Teams, but that doesn't go as far as you taking the personal trip out there and meeting the people face to face, talking with them, having a connection, and seeing how they react. And most of the times you'll be surprised, people are excited to collaborate. People are, maybe they've just never heard about the publication, and they're like, wow, well, we would love that. And I think it's stuff like that. It's all about that personal connection with all these campuses, and letting them know, like, even though you're far away, you're still connected. And even though our main production offices is in Waterloo, or if it's in Brantford, and there not being one in Milton, you're still connected. We'll still send people here weekly, monthly, to check in, host booths, and to kind of advertise that you can work remotely as well. We offer, you can work remotely. If you have skills, you can work remotely. And that way, at least people, let's say for the Milton campus, people working in Milton, they'll start talking about it to their friends. Hey, listen, what are you doing later today? I'm going to be working remote for this student publications. Where even is that? I didn't even hear. Well, it's in Waterloo, but they did a trip out here and heard about it, and now I'm working. Okay, that's cool. I want to do that as well. And it's just things definitely that students mm-hmm. want for their resume. You know, like a lot of students wouldn't mind having the extra production experience, like InDesign, Photoshop, Creative Cloud, Adobe experience in their resume, because it's just good to have, especially in this, you know, with the technology boom, as things are getting more and more, fast. People are trying to learn more about tech mm-hmm. and how to create content, and it's a big attention economy. Like, people are just trying mm-hmm. to gain attention. So one of the ways to gain attention is to learn how to make content so you can advertise it or put it out there. But that would be one of my main focuses to bring the campuses together, is take the personal trips, send all the staffs there, maybe do a group, not a conference, but like, let's take the group there, take mm-hmm. the staff members there, let's go on a trip. Why? We're going to just go there and try to network with our departments. I'll go there, you go tell them about the Brantford newspaper. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Milton, you tell Waterloo about the Brantford campus, and mm-hmm. Let's take a trip from Waterloo to Brantford, and you tell them about the Waterloo campus. Let's take a trip to Milton, tell them about both of our campuses and both of our newspapers. Let's mm-hmm. let's put our magazines in Milton. Why? Students there would love to, you know, pass time and read. So it's all about like doing the physical work, I feel like, along with the online work as well, but mm-hmm. doing a little bit of both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and along with the different campuses, LUCIP also covers 8 different publications as of right now. How will you continue to foster collaboration across the different publications?
Foster collaboration across different publications. Very nice. Okay. We'll start from a Blueprint magazine. Now, let's say, for example, a magazine is published and they're hosting an event, a launch party, and they need a lot of people to show up. Now, they're doing everything on their behalf to market that event and to spread the word. Mm-hmm. Why? Because they want people to read their magazines, and also because they want people to learn about the magazines and also potentially work for the magazines. Mm-hmm. Now, if they're having a hard time with spreading the word, one thing they can do is talk to other departments and collaborate with them. How? By social media. Could you share my post? And stuff like that really goes a long way. I was surprised by how some of my content that I posted, once it gets shared on other departments, social media, like Instagram, mm-hmm. it actually gets more attraction, which is good. That's the goal, right? Mm-hmm. The goal is to spread the word.
Yeah.
Now, collaboration between all these 8 different publications, that would just be a lot of mixing and matching, a lot of mixing, mm-hmm. mixing the work, mixing, let's say, hey, listen, you have a story to publish. How about we publish that story and you publish our story, you know, or it's about covering, let's say, the Brantford stories in Waterloo and covering the Waterloo stories in Brantford. Why? Just so that there's some recognition happening and giving it a small headline saying that this is a section from the Sputnik in Brantford.
Mm-hmm.
From putting that in the core now, although these are 2 independent, different newspapers. But that, just doing that right there, people reading the core would be like, oh, wow, I didn't even know Brantford had a newspaper. And people mm-hmm. reading it in Brantford, reading the Sputnik, would be like, I didn't know the core had, the Waterloo had the core. And mm-hmm. kind of mixing both of the things, but also matching. For example, for the magazines, adding a picture of, let's say, Radio Laurier, and how that's mm-hmm. art in itself. Blueprint yeah. magazine mm-hmm. is about it's a very art-based magazine. So there's art happening everywhere mm-hmm. here, making, you know, it's a very creative environment.
Yeah.
Making the yearbook, adding some pictures about the, mm-hmm. It could be about the Radio Laurier as well. And also could be about the community edition. Let's say mm-hmm. At the end of my yearbook, I do want to add a behind the scenes of student publications mm-hmm. where
yeah.
people are working, like a lot of production is happening. I kind of show the BTS.
Mm-hmm.
And because I always used to love watching films and at the end wait for any BTS, because mm-hmm. it's funny, but also you get to see how they're also just like humans working
mm-hmm.
and they make mistakes, or how stressed they are working trying to do it like correctly, let's say for a movie, being a film student. But yeah, like definitely a lot of collaboration by mixing and matching a lot of the work. Just so that if someone is reading A, they learn about B. And if someone is reading B, they learn about A. And that way, we expand on the readers, or we expand on the consumers of our publications already. And that way, we also give recognition to different different departments.
Yeah, I see. Very nice. Can you give one critique and one praise of the current Wolusit President Publisher?
Critique and one praise. Mm-hmm. I would say the critique. I'll say that first. Get that out of the way. The critique is there's nothing. There's no critiques. I don't know if there's a critique necessarily, but one thing like one thing that I'm doing potentially in the future is I've learned from the past is talking about these personal visits to, let's say, the Milton campus or the Brantford campus, which I'm sure the president has already done. But especially with this new Milton campus and the mixing matching and stuff like that is really advertising. I know we can't really advertise hugely in on the campuses because it's a different... WLUSP is different from Student Union and it's different from Laurier, but definitely in more involvement in the campus is something that I feel like should have been done. And it can only be, there's only a point, or let's say there's always a threshold to how much you can market before it starts sounding like a sale. Like you're just trying to sell, you're trying to sell the newspaper or something. But it's like, I feel like so far the president has done a good job, and that would be one critique. That's like spreading the word more out there on the campuses, like in person, on ground. That would be nice. Because sometimes if I go to the student union, it'll be like, we haven't heard about the Keystone. And I'm like, I need pictures for the yearbook. And they're like, oh, we don't know about anything. So I feel like stuff like that, it would be nice. But yeah, like other than that, I feel like the president has done an amazing job. Like we have our president who's Amaiva, and she had a short leave during New Year's, but due to personal reasons. But even though she wasn't present physically, she was here spiritually. Like I didn't feel like, because me myself, like I was invited by her, or she was the one who came forward to ask me to be the editor in chief. So I kind of had her as someone who guided me, and I looked to her for guidance. Yeah. But even after she left, she told me, hey, listen, like, I won't be here, but if you need to reach out cases of emergency, you can. And here's the executive director, Curtis, and he'll be here to help you with anything that you need. And that actually helped me build a better connection with the ED as well, the executive director, Curtis, and talking to him as well. So I feel like, yeah, she definitely managed it the best, the best she could. Even after taking the leave. And even when she came back, like everything was on plan. It's not like she came back and what's happening. Like everything that we had discussed, the president and me, the editor-in-chief, before the New Year's, regarding the plans for the yearbook and the deadlines and how are things going, everything was on plan. And she was happy to hear that I'm still following the schedule that I made.
Awesome. Very nice. Yeah. And we've talked a little bit about how president oversees the different campuses as well as the different publications. How are you at managing your time and establishing boundaries?
Yes. Establishing boundaries. Boundaries is a very interesting because that's something that you have to look at from a personal level. I would say boundaries is one of the main things in a leadership position, and it could be any leadership position. You have to make sure you have good choices. You have good values, and values is what sets boundaries, and making the correct choices based on those values, that's important. And having boundaries is just to have common sense boundaries. Like you can't really be emotional about a situation or be like, hey, we can't find a solution, so let's forget about it. Boundaries are also about knowing the standards of working in an environment where, yes, it is all students, and students are not perfect. No one is perfect, but it's about teaching them as well. You don't want to shut someone down. Like you just want to make them realize, hey, listen, This is just not the way it's supposed to be done. And if they are able to come to that realization, the quicker, the better it is for them and you. And if they're willing to not come to that realization, it's just because they don't want to, then there's a clear answer that this person just doesn't want to learn or make the standards or meet the standards. So in situations like that, then you set boundaries quite straightforwardly. Like, hey, listen, I've asked you nicely many times and it's just not being done. So I'm not sure if you want to work or if you're busy, if you're still interested. Just having communication is also like you have to be able to talk. You can't assume what someone is going through. You don't know what they're going through. You have to talk to them and really try to understand what's the reason behind them not fulfilling the needs that they're supposed to fill. And most of the times people are just lazy. Most of the time you find that people are just too busy, or they were just lazy, or they went over their head, and then they truly feel bad. So instead of like being harsh on them, like if they make one mistake, be like, oh, you're fired, or you're like, hey, what happened? And then you find out, okay, they were just busy, and maybe they didn't see the email or the message, and then you're like, okay, well, that's fine, no problems. So it's also good to not assume stuff, but that's one way you would have boundaries and set limits. But it all comes from your value, your personal values and choices that you make based on those values as a leader. And that's why there's a voting system. You don't get to be the leader for student publications. You don't get to be the publisher by yourself. You have people voting for you. There's a nomination. That's why there's two candidates who are being nominated, and the people get to listen to them and also read their platforms and kind of learn about what they have going on and why they should vote for them. That was you asked about the boundaries. What was the other?
Time management,
yes. Mm-hmm. Time management is very something I struggle. Mm-hmm. I feel like every university student struggles with time management. Mm-hmm. And it's something you get better at as you come to closer to the end of your years. And time management, you manage it by having a schedule, which is very simple. But you're having a schedule and also following the schedule. And sometimes you know things might happen. Let's say a deadline might be coming close, and you're not sure if it can be done or not. That's why you set deadlines a bit ahead of time, or you make sure you have different types of plans to make sure that the final deadline doesn't get missed. Time management, that's how I personally manage my time with, let's say, like an assignment, for example. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to make sure, okay, if it's due on Friday, let me start working on it on Monday and have it done by at least Wednesday. Just so that if I have it done by Wednesday and if I don't want to make any changes, I have Thursday and Friday, the whole day to kind of fix. If I just leave it until Thursday and I finish it on Thursday and there's some final touches or something I feel like I need to add to make it better, but I'm like, I just give up on it because I'm like, oh, it's close to the deadline. It's fine. I'll just submit it anyways. It's like you're kind of pushing yourself. You're pushing yourself in a smaller time bracket to make those changes, which can really make a huge difference. Mm-hmm. It's always the small changes that make the huge difference. So time management is all about, just managing your time nicely by having a schedule and making sure you follow it. And also setting realistic deadlines. Like, you can't really say, like, okay, I'm going to finish this by tomorrow, and you know you need, like, 2 days to finish it. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to set, like, good... You have to know your own... You have to know, like, if you can actually follow that schedule or not. Like, realistic deadlines. And who does that? You yourself. Like, you have to make the correct choices. That's one way, on a personal level, I would say, how I manage my time. Because in the past... When I was in my first year, they would just be like, okay, I have an assignment. I'll get it done the night before. And the night before, I'm like, why didn't I have it planned like two weeks before? And it's always, it's those moments, or let's say those situations, you end up learning. And now, as I said, you come closer to your third year, or closer to the end of your graduation, you really learn time management. Mm-hmm. You really learn, okay, I'm going to be doing this for this long, because if I do it for too long, the quality will go down. So you kind of manage your time by knowing by just being in reality. I know people want to get things done quick, and me as well. Why not be a Superman if I can get things done quick? But you have to be in reality, and sometimes there's problems or hiccups that occur. So being resilient through them and making sure that you follow the schedule is the best way to deal with time management. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah. Very nice. And this is our last question. If elected, what are you looking forward to learning or experiencing as president?
I feel like learning would just be learning more about the student publications and how much of a role it plays in university, and also seeing how far it can go. Because we went to the NASH conference a few weeks ago, which was Canada's university press conference, and there was a lot of universities, and all of them were nominated, and the only one not nominated was Volusiv, which kind of... And me just joining the team now, it just felt a bit weird not being nominated. So I feel like something that I would learn and something that I would implement is definitely increase the motivation, increase the, let's say, the determination, the ambition. Like letting people know, like, okay, our goal is not just to publish a newspaper. Our goal is not just to make a yearbook. It's about making the best yearbook. It's about making the best magazine. It's about making the best news article, journal, the best radio, the best interview. Or let's focus on doing our best in terms of treat it like a competition, because there are other universities out there, and we have our university, and we have to make sure that our students are actually listening to it as well. Listening to the hard work that we're putting in. Like, there's a lot of hard work that gets put into student publications within all the departments, and it's really not recognized as much as it should be. And I feel like that recognition is something that's underrated, and it should be deserved a lot more. And spreading the word would help with that. And what I would learn myself is just seeing how far I can go with this plan of letting students know about Volusiv. I was just on my way talking to a fourth year student who I just met yesterday at the gym, and I was like, let's chat today, and he was free before this interview, and I was just talking, fourth year, okay, did you know about student publications? No. He had no clue about student publications, but he knew that Laurier had a yearbook because they asked him for grad photos.
Oh, yeah.
So like, I'm like, you don't know about this whole, it's like, this, you don't know about this student publication, you could work for them, and it's, you know, they're always hiring, and it's all about like production work, and you could do, and they were like, no, I don't know. So I was like, part of my learning process is also to learn myself about what the goals for the nonprofit organization is, and also how I myself can implement a change and how quick it can be implemented. Because ideas are good to have, but without action, ideas are kind of they kind of just go away. So seeing like all these ideas that I have, that I mentioned in my platforms, and I've talked in the open forum about all the ideas that I want to see happen. Seeing my, one of the things I want to learn is seeing how those ideas actually get accomplished in the on ground when I do become president. Because that's the satisfaction, right? You have a plan, and then you see it work out, and then you see how people react to that plan. They're like, oh my God, this is amazing. But you had the vision. And a vision without action is going nowhere. But seeing a vision come forth and seeing it come into reality, that's like I don't know how to say it, but that's like the best dessert you could have in your life. It just feels good. So that's what I want to learn, is seeing these ideas come into reality.
Awesome, great. Well, that's all the questions that we had. Thank you so much for talking to us today.
You're welcome, Jack.
It was great chatting with you. If you're listening to this live, the AGM is today at 5 p.m. So go to @Volusiv on Instagram. That's WLUSP. You can see the info there. Find out how you can vote, how you can join. Thank you so much once again, Abdullah, for joining us today.
You're
best
welcome.
Of luck.